You know, when somebody passes away, sometimes we might say, well, at least now they are at peace. Sometimes you might see a headstone that have letters inscribed on them, R.I.P. Rest in peace. But I want to ask you something. Do you have to wait until that time to actually be at peace? Do you know that God has planned for you to be at peace now? Not just at that moment, not just for other people to say about you when you have passed, but I want to ask you this morning, and I want you to reflect on this, and I want you to answer to yourself this question. Are you at peace? Right now, are you at peace? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with who you are? Not who other people think you are, what other people think about you. Are you at peace with who you are? Are you at peace with your past? Are you at peace with your relationship with God? Only you can answer that question for you right now. Are you at peace, or is there some inner turmoil? It's just eating you up and is not allowing you to experience the true peace that God wants you to have. Or are you carrying around some guilt? Guilt about some things that you've done in the past, some things you've said in the past, some wrongs that you've done. Carrying around some guilt that is not allowing you to truly experience the peace that God wants you to have. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Bible tells us that God wants us to allow His peace to rule in our hearts. Our theme this year is talking about being at His cross. And the theme for the month of July is talking about when we come to His cross, that is where I find peace. Do you have it? Do you have the peace that God wants you to have? I know there's a lot of things happening in our lives. There's a lot of circumstances going on in our lives that we cannot control. Are you right now, this moment, this day, are you at peace? I want you to get your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at the two verses that were read from Romans chapter 5. And that's going to be the lesson today, is just these two verses, first two verses of Romans chapter 5. Because it's in these verses where the Bible says, we have peace with God. And so it's got to be in these two verses going to tell us, how can we have that peace? How can I have the peace that God wants me to have? Not just in some theoretical concept. Not just in some ideological, oh yeah, okay, that's an idea out there. No. We right today, every one of us, can be at peace if we understand the peace that God has for us. I want us to look this morning at the ABCs of God's peace and to see if we've got it. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is to talk about the avenue of God's peace. How is it that we can come to experience? How is it that we can come to have this peace that God wants us to have? Well, what's the avenue that the world would usually have? What's the direction the world would usually go to find peace? Where would they usually go to try to obtain peace? Somebody says, well, you know, if I just made a little bit more money, I could be at peace. If I could just find a better job, I'd really be at peace. You know, if I had a bigger house to live in, I could be at peace. If I just had a better car, if I had a newer car. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's things that we think are going to make us better, are going to really provide that peace in our lives. Some people have allowed their lives to go in such a direction that sometimes they go looking for substances that might bring about peace. Maybe that's some of us. We go looking for a bottle or a can that can bring peace to our lives. Maybe we go looking for that powder or some other substance that we think This is the only way that I can find peace. That's not the avenue by which God wants us to have peace. Look in Romans chapter 5, where the Bible says in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Where? What's the avenue? How do we have peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your road. There's your path. There's the only way that we can truly have that peace. And I want you to see that. You see the word through there? That word is found about 15 times in this chapter. Here's a chapter that says, here's how you can have peace with God. It is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by, that's 10 times in this chapter is that word by, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. How? Through Him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? Through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved. How? By His life. And not only that, verse 11, but we shall rejoice in God. God, where's that rejoicing coming from? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Look down to verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, talking about Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, bringing about justification. What is the only path? What's the only avenue by which we can have peace? It's the cross. That's why we decided last year when we were talking about 2017, talking about at His cross. What do we find at His cross? I find peace. Because that's the only place that I can find peace. In John 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, I'm giving you, and He didn't just say, I'm giving you peace. He put a word before the word peace. He said, I'm giving you My peace. Is that worth having? If there's anybody's peace worth having, Jesus said, not as the world gives. It's not from the world. It's not like the world. It is a peace that only can come through Jesus. And He said it in chapter 16 and verse 33, He talked about the peace that He was going to give. And He said, in the world, you're not going to have peace. He said in chapter 16, verse 33, in the world, you will have, what's the opposite of peace? Tribulation. That's what Jesus said. In the world, you will have tribulation. Anybody ever had tribulation before? I'm not talking about what your car did when you tried to start it up this morning and it gave you a little sputter. You know, that you might think that's tribulation. Or the shuddering when your wheel is out of balance on your car and just starts shaking. That's like tribulation in your car, right? In the world, you will have tribulation. But Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And because I've overcome the world in that verse, He says, I'm going to give you My peace. So the only thing I want us to see right now at this point in the lesson is, where do we obtain this peace that God has for us? It's not in the world. It's not in anything that the world has to offer to us. The avenue by which we can experience God's peace is only through Jesus Christ. Do you have His peace? I'm not asking you now if you have peace. I'm asking you more specifically, do you have His peace? The one that He has to offer you. The peace that Paul would describe as a peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you have that? In the second place this morning, I don't want to just talk about the avenue. Where do we get? How do we obtain it? How is this peace bestowed upon us? We find where to find it. I find it at the cross. I find it through Jesus. But how do I obtain it? How is that peace bestowed upon me? Go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Because it tells us. The peace that we have with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the first part of the verse where it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. God's peace, He says we have peace with God because we've been justified by faith. God's peace is only for those who have been justified. What does that mean? Justification is a word that we use in the church. It's a word that the Bible uses, but you know, how often do we think about that word and what it means to us? Justification, being justified, is it's a legal term. It's a judicial term. The way it's used in Scripture is talking about things in a judicial term, meaning this. When we sin, 1 John 3 and verse 4, when we sin, we break the law. See how this is a judicial term? It's a legal term. When we sin, our sin, 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, sin is lawlessness. When I sin, I break God's law. Is that a big deal? Is that worse than when the blue lights pull you over for going too fast? When you break the law? When I break God's law, is it worse than that? Romans chapter 6 verse 3 says, the wages of sin... Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean? I get paid for this? I get something out of this? You see, if sin is breaking God's law, if it's transgressing God's law, guess what comes about when I transgress God's law? I am found guilty. And I am deserving of punishment. What does Romans 6 and verse 23 say? The wages of sin is death, condemnation, separation from God. Here I am breaking God's law, and what comes about? There's a consequence, there is a punishment that is to come my way because I have broken God's law. Well, that doesn't sound very nice. Where does this idea of justification come in? It comes in because there's a God of grace. And there's a God who looked down at me breaking His law and being guilty of breaking His law and deserving of condemnation. There was a God of grace who looked down at me and sent His Son to live a sinless life, to offer Himself as a sinless sacrifice so that He could free me from the punishment of sin. That's what justification is. Justification is when I am guilty, but God pronounces me not guilty. Justification is when I have committed sin and I should be condemned for my sins, and God says, I am freeing you from your sins. Wouldn't it be nice if God told us how that could come about? Wouldn't it be nice if God could say, here's my grace, I want to free you. Go back to Romans chapter 3 for just a minute. Go back to Romans 3 in the closing verses, nearly the closing verses of this chapter. We know Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you know what God did? He didn't leave us there. He didn't leave us guilty. Being justified freely by His grace, you see the word through? Being justified freely by His grace. What does the word freely mean? I don't deserve it and I can't earn it. Being justified freely by His grace. What does grace mean? God is giving me something that I have not merited. Something that I don't deserve. Through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus. What did Christ Jesus do? Verse 25. God set forth Jesus as propitiation. What does that mean? What's the word propitiation means? It means that I was guilty of sin, that I was deserving of condemnation and death, and Jesus came along and fulfilled God's penalty. Jesus came along and took the punishment that was due unto me. The wages of sin is death. The wrath of God was coming my way, and Jesus took the wrath of God upon Himself instead of me. When I do what God says, I stand justified in His sight. I am free from sin. He declares me not guilty. Well, what have I got to do? Romans chapter 5 says what? Being justified by faith. Don't misread that verse. Do you see the word alone in that verse? Do you see the word only in that verse? Does it say we're being justified by faith alone and that's it? That word's not in that verse. We're justified by faith. But what kind of faith? We're justified by a faith that does what God says. Look in chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. In Romans 6 and verse 18, the Bible says that that something had transpired in these people's lives. Something had transpired in their lives so that they were set free from sin. Guess what that is? That's the exact same thing as being justified. If I'm justified, what happens? I was guilty of sin and God pronounced me not guilty. That's the same thing as chapter 6, verse 18. I was set free from sin. Well, when was that? When was I set free and justified in the eyes of God from sin? What does verse 17 say? Verse 17 says, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, past tense, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Something happened. You had a faith that was not just a mental assent that said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but it was a faith that led you to obey from the heart what God told you to do. What is that obedience? What is obeying from the heart the form or the pattern of doctrine? Same chapter, back up into verse 3. Chapter 6 and verse 3. Paul says, don't you know this? Chapter 6 and verse 3. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And therefore, in verse 4, he says, we were buried. Look at the word with. Verse 3, you have the word with. Verse 4, you have the word with. We were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Should walk in newness of life. What is verse 17 talking about? Where he says, we have obeyed from the heart the form, the pattern of doctrine that was delivered unto us. What was the pattern? The pattern was Jesus when He died on the cross, when He was buried in the tomb, when He was raised from the dead. And Paul says in Romans chapter 6, when you obey that form, when you obey that pattern, you're justified. Verse 18, you're set free from sin. Well, how do I obey that form or that pattern? Jesus died. What do? I need to die. I need to die to sin. I need to make up my mind. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I need to die to self. Make up my mind. I'm done serving self. I'm ready to serve God. The Bible calls that repentance. Change of mind that leads to a change of life. I need to die to sin. What does verse 3 and 4 say? I need to be buried just as Christ was buried. Buried with Him in baptism. It doesn't even just leave it up to us to figure out what the burial is. When I was buried with Him in baptism. What is baptism? Is baptism a sprinkling of water? This says that baptism is a burial. It's an immersion. It is a submersion into water. But am I left there? Was Jesus left in the tomb? Is Jesus still in the tomb? No, Jesus was raised. And so what do? I am raised from the baptism. I am raised just as Jesus was raised. Raised with Him to walk. What, did Jesus live after He was raised? Yes. And I'm raised to walk in newness of life. And God says, when I follow that pattern, that form, I'm justified. And what does that mean? Chapter 5 and verse 1, what does that mean? When I follow that form, when I follow that pattern, when I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and I believe it with all of my heart, and I make up my mind to repent, so I'm done with self and I'm done with sin. I'm ready to serve my Lord. I die to sin. I am buried in water. I am raised to walk in newness of life. Therefore, having been justified, set free from sin, chapter 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace. If you have never followed Jesus' form of doctrine. If you've never obeyed the pattern of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, if you've never been baptized in order that you might be freed from sin, you cannot have the peace that God has for you. But hear me, brother and sister in Christ, please hear me. If you have done that, you have peace. Not the peace that the world has to offer. It's not a peace the world will ever understand. But it's a peace that has sin taken out of my life so that I can be back in a relationship with God, the God of peace. Do you have that peace? I know there's a lot of other things happening in our world and in our lives, but I want to ask you, have you ever followed that form so that right now you can have that peace? Brother and sister in Christ, I want you to understand that that's not just a one-time thing. That's not just a peace that's yours after you're baptized, but it kind of fades away after that. There is a constancy that God has for His peace that He wants you to have. Go back to chapter 5, verse 2, and this is the last point this morning. God has a continual peace to offer you. And I want you to see what He says. We have peace with God. How? What's the avenue? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look in verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That word access is one of the sweetest words in all the Bible. We have access. Do you have access to God? That word access is it's one of the sweetest words in the Bible because that's what He gives to us. The verb tenses in these two verses are interesting. This idea of having been justified in the Greek is a past tense, meaning there was some event that took place where you were justified. What was that event? When you were baptized into Christ and you followed that pattern of doctrine. So, having been justified, he says that's in the past tense. Then he talks about we have peace with God. That's present tense. In the Greek language, that means it's a continual thing. You continually have peace. But when he gets to verse 2, it's not present tense anymore. He uses, in the Greek language, it's called a perfect tense. But what it means is there's something that has happened in the past. And the results of that are still here, and they are abiding forever. Where is that tense? It's where he says, we have been given access to God. I forgot I had this up here. This is a really good point, really good slide. I forgot I had it. We're going to skip it. We're going to this one. All right. We have peace with God. But not just that, we have access to Him. The only people on this earth who have access to God are those who have followed His pattern. But if you have followed that pattern, been baptized into Christ in the way He dictates in order to have the remission of sins, you have, as one of His children, you have an abiding access. Because of what's happened, you continually have this access to Him. You have this access to His very throne that Hebrews 4 and verse 14 calls the throne of grace. And you have this access into His grace forever. Do you need God's grace? After you become a Christian, you still need God's grace? Have you sinned since you became a Christian? One or two times, have you sinned since you became a Christian? Every single day. What do I need when I sin? I need the continual flowing grace of God. Guess what I have? When I'm a faithful Christian, guess what I have? I have an abiding access, meaning it is always there, it is constantly there. Access to God's grace. So that when I make a mistake, when I do something wrong, when I violate God's will, when I break God's law, even as a Christian, you know what God's grace does? It forgives me of that sin so that I can still have peace. If I've got sin in my life, I can't have peace. But when God is continually taking that sin away out of my life, I can continually be at peace with Him. I don't know where you are this morning. For some of you, I know that you have never made the decision to give your life to the Lord. You've never made the decision to follow that pattern of doctrine, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And I'm not trying to be mean this morning when I say you cannot have peace. You can't have God's peace because that hasn't been given to you. That hasn't been bestowed to you because you haven't been justified in His eyes. But some of you have followed that pattern. You have followed that form. You become a Christian. But the devil has been after you. The devil has been trying to get you to remember every wrong that you ever committed before. The devil is trying to get you to remember every mistake you've ever made in your life. The devil is trying to get you to think how sorry you are for all the sins that you have committed. And he's trying to get you to carry a burden that Jesus took off of you when you were baptized into Christ. Some of you might be looking at yourself and saying, I don't deserve God's peace. Guess what? None of us deserve God's peace. But He's given it to us. And when God bestows His peace, you don't need to be carrying around guilt. You don't need to be carrying around those sins of the past that you have committed. It's not that we can forget them. You remember Paul said, as Paul the Christian said, I'm the chief of sinners, referring to the way that he had lived. He hadn't forgotten what he had done. But you know, one of the sweetest verses in all the Bible is Hebrews 8 verse 12 that says, God remembers our sins no, you know the next word? More. He remembers my sins no more. And when God doesn't remember my sins, that's where I can find peace. Where are you today? Is the peace of God truly ruling in your hearts, Colossians 3 and verse 15. If it's not, what do you need to do to make a change? We've detailed this morning what someone needs to do in order to become a child of God, in order to have that peace. And once a child of God, to continue walking in the light as He is in the light, so that that blood can continue to cleanse us and continue to give us His peace. If you don't truly have the peace that comes from being freed from sin, if you don't have that this morning, would you let Him have His way with you right now as together we stand and sing?